Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. We made it, people. We're here. It's the end of the week, heading into the weekend. No huge Packers news to take up our weekend time with our families. We can all just hang out and enjoy. While a lot of other teams are having their rookie camps today, NFL franchises coming across the old Twitter feed with updates for the rookies, etc. Not the Packers, who obviously have already had their rookie minicamp. I know one piece of news that crossed the threshold today was Andre Dillard, the former tackle for the Packers, signing with the 49ers this afternoon. Dillard never really was called into action for the Packers, though I thought he had a surprisingly decent camp last summer, given how poorly he played down in Tennessee the year prior. Now he will be a member of the 49ers. Packers, obviously, selecting a couple of offensive linemen in the draft. So those guys will be one notch up the totem pole, so to speak, with a potential tackle option off the board for the Packers. Outside of that, there's not a ton of news, obviously not a ton of headlines, but that doesn't mean there isn't a ton of content going on at Cheesehead TV. A reminder for everybody, there's a link in the description of this video for you to sign up for the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. Each and every week in your inbox with tons of Packers goodness from Cheesehead TV, all sorts of different content, articles, social stuff, videos, and letting you know about really cool stuff like Jordan Love hosting the 25th annual Packers softball game. I know you probably saw that mentioned a couple different places throughout this week, but it's always a really good time. It used to be hosted by Donald Driver. Jordan Love has taken over, and it's a bit of a rite of passage as far as, you know, a great summer event in the Northeast Wisconsin area. This year it is being held on May 23rd. Make sure you check it out if you haven't. It's a lot of fun. Maybe not something you want to do every single year, but if you haven't done it before, I highly recommend. It is a great time. It is a great event. And there's a great component added this year where you can support Jordan Love's foundation. Really encourage everyone to check it out if they haven't, especially if you've got kids. It is a really good time at the ballpark. It's a great time at the ballpark in general there at Timber Rattlers Stadium. But make sure you check that out. And like I said, you can find out about that kind of thing and a lot more in the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter going out every Thursday morning in your inbox in the off season. Continues in season with another. We get two a week because we always have another edition the day after the game, the morning after. So make sure you sign up for that. Like I said, there's a link in the description of this video. Outside of that, as I indicated, there ain't a ton of news. And I didn't want to gin up some nonsense that I'm not really feeling or worried about or thinking about. So I thought I'd throw the floor open for you guys on Friday. And look, if there aren't a ton of questions or a ton of comments, that's fine. That's totally cool. We'll close up shop early and we'll head out and have ourselves a weekend. But you know, did want to give you guys the opportunity to chat a little bit, just because I'm not jonesing about a particular topic or a certain aspect of the team doesn't mean that there aren't Packers fans out there that want to talk about certain topics, and I'm all about it because that's what we do, people. We're devoted to Packers fans worldwide. Like Craig, thanks for the super chat, man. Best line I've seen all week. Chicago got a Pope before it got a QB to throw for over 4,000 yards in a season. Philip DeFranco. Yeah, I saw that sentiment expressed quite a few times the afternoon that the Pope news went live. But it's just this wonderful kind of tidbit that you can always throw in Bears fans' faces. I know they got that victory there at the end of the year in Lambeau, the first time in 11 tries beating the Packers. So they're puffing their chests out about it a little bit, but you know, they got their one, and now we'll get back to beating them. No question about it. Mike Malone, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Does Meikle's veteran presence or mentorship potential for the wide receiver room mean anything for him making this team? Kind of, Mike. I don't think mentorship is really what saves him. I don't doubt for a moment you'd love another vet voice in the room. Certainly think last year kind of showed the maybe lack of one of said voice, but I don't really think Hardman is about that. I think the veteran presence is certainly a major component. And this is what I keep talking about in regards to his return ability, especially when it comes to punt returns. Packers haven't had a bona fide punt returner, like a really consistent, effective one, since Micah Hyde walked out the door. You know, they've been kind of going through a bunch of different bodies back there. And, you know, I know Keyshawn Nixon has been extremely effective on kick returns, especially prior to the change in the rules. But punt returns have bedeviled the Packers. And Mecole Hardman is legit. He's a guy who's done it in the league for a number of years. That's what I think saves him. That's what I think will most likely, maybe not in pen, but certainly heavy duty pencil heading into training camp. And I think he puts his name in pen during training camp, simply because he's a natural and he's done it on the biggest stage in the NFL for multiple years. And he's certainly been productive in a way that nobody on the roster currently has been in the league. Yes, there are guys, they've drafted a few who have done it in college and been effective at that level, but it's a whole nother world in the NFL. These guys are faster, bigger, stronger. And just because you were able to do it in college doesn't mean you're going to be walking into the NFL, automatically hit the ground running in that regard. Like I said, Hardman's got the pelts on the wall. And I think that, more than anything, keeps him on this team. Mike Witt, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Appreciate you, man. Howdy, Nags and chat. Said it before the draft and continue to say it. That Golden reminds me so much of Greg Jennings when he came out of Western Michigan. Thoughts? I don't see a perfect kind of similarity there, but I get what you're talking about as far as they'll be able to utilize him a lot right away. You know, that was the thing with Greg. He came into training camp learning all three spots. It's not something they typically do. Any of these coaching staffs that have been through, but from Mike McCarthy to Matt LaFleur. But certainly I think he is going to get opportunities right away, much like Greg did. I think Greg was a much more polished player. I don't think there's a world where you look at Golden and say he's got the tools that Greg did coming into the league as far as knowing a lot about route running and setting guys up and using leverage and just the ability to get off press man and things like that. Greg was on a really high plane, and that was why he was given so much right out of the gate as a rookie. Again, that's not to say that Golden can't or won't do some of that, but Greg Jennings was excellent, man. I know Packers fans, and I'm not saying this is you, Mike, but I know Packers fans have a bit of a distorted remembrance of Greg because of all the post-career, post-Green Bay career stuff between him and Rodgers. But man, he was outstanding coming out of college. He was phenomenal, and hell, he was phenomenal as a Packer. He was a much better receiver than I think most Packers fans give him credit for. All that to say, I think Golden, the similarity will be that he'll be given opportunities and he'll be on the field, but I don't see a huge similarity in their game. I think they're pretty different receivers. Just to put a bow on that, obviously, Golden's got the speed. Yeah, that's a God-given thing that he will be able to exploit certain defenses and certain matchups with. But, man, Jennings was a technician, like, out the gate. That guy had tools and an ability in the finer points of the game that I haven't seen on Golden's tape. And again, that doesn't mean he can't get there. Doesn't mean that you won't become something else. But right now, that would be kind of a stretch for me. Craig, how are you, man? In our continuing education, what is a typical week like for the guys on the practice squad? Well, they're practicing. They just don't suit up for games. They're certainly running with different groups. And I know we got a good kind of peek into this process when Rodgers talked about Alan Lazard's ascension, how they have the green and gold groups. And, you know, after practice, they're watching film, and Rodgers was watching, I can't remember if it was green or gold, but one of those groups. And, you know, Lazard was flashing, and he could say, who is this kid who keeps making plays? We got to get it. Got to get him up here. So yeah, they're certainly, like, you know, running with the threes and fours, as it were. But they also do a lot on scout team. Obviously there's a big component there, and they do most everything all the other guys do, they just mostly don't suit up for the game unless they're called up and or get signed to the roster during the week. But they are members of the team, and they do everything all the guys on the roster do. They're practicing, all that. They just don't typically play in the games, again, unless they're elevated, which is a very new thing. People forget. Like, now we kind of take it as, oh, that's what they do. Each and every Saturday we're finding out, like, who do they elevate from the practice squad? But that's a very new occurrence. That was a result of the pandemic. In 2020, the revision of the CBA, the ability to bring as many guys up as they do, and now they've obviously curtailed it a little bit now that we're quote-unquote back to normal. But, yeah, for the most part, they're members of the team. That's the easiest way to look at it. Nathaniel, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Might as well pull the trigger on Clowney. Dude won't stop until he's played for all 32 teams. Nathaniel, I encourage you to check out my conversation with Justice from, I believe, 2 days ago. We talked about Clowney as a potential free agent addition. I mean, I think it's a call Brian makes just to touch base in every conversation. I can't imagine the Packers would want to compete financially with somebody signing Clowney. And I don't doubt for a moment that someone will sign him for something more than the vet minimum or around there, which is probably what the Packers would offer. If only because, yes, he can come in, he can help you at defensive end. He can certainly still get after the quarterback. He's got that juice. But, you know, if you did that, yeah, you're probably having to, I mean, move someone off of the defensive end room. And I had kind of joked maybe trading Kingsley and Igbari or something along those lines. But I just think there's little doubt in my mind that the Packers aren't going to swim in the financial waters that it would take to land Clowney. But, hey, like I said, it's a call I think they'll make. He could certainly help their pass rush, which we saw last year, needed all the help they could get when it came to winning one-on-ones. Brandy, how are you? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member and the best darn moderator here on the internet. Adams got 38 receptions and around 446 yards his rookie year. Different team and receivers, but that amount of targets for Golden is doable. Very much agreed, Brandy. I think that's a well-remembered and kind of well-placed as far as expectations go, right? The thing I'm sure you remember about Adams is, you know, he had a couple of games in there, both, I believe it was the Patriots game and then the Dallas playoff game, where he really stepped up and came to the fore and contributed in big moments, although he did drop what should have been a winning touchdown against the Patriots, but they won the game anyway. Yeah, there were a couple of weeks there where because of injuries, he was elevated and played a bit more than probably they would have wanted or expected him to, but he delivered. It was early and it wasn't consistent yet, but man, you saw those kind of glimmers, right, of what Devontae could become. And I think that's a reasonable expectation for Golden this year. And that's kind of what I was talking about yesterday. In the last couple of days, really, was the patience with Savion Williams and don't be trading Romeo Doubs. I don't doubt for a moment. Yes, Golden's going to be exciting at times, and he's certainly going to affect defenses with his speed. He's going to be on the field because of his speed and given opportunities. But, man, I think what you're saying here, like around 40 receptions, just under 500 yards, I think that's a really good rookie season for Golden, you know, given the opportunities that he'll probably have. Mike, thanks again, man. One suggestion for a classic Packers watch-along, the classic 1985 Snow Bowl. Still one of my favorite Packer memories of all time. I love that game. I would probably do that at some point, maybe deep in the offseason. But, you know, that's a game again. It's kind of like the Washington Monday night game. Everyone remembers that game. Like, I remember very vividly sitting on my living room floor in front of my dad's easy chair and in my footy pajamas watching it. I was just blizzard outside and thinking it's really good. I'm at home and watching that game on television. And it's a crazy game to watch, but it would be fun. That'd be a fun one. And speaking of which, Mike Witt and all of you, if you are a Patreon member, a Care of the G Club member, we'll have our first classic Packers watch along next week. So be on the lookout on your respective pages for that information. Ed, how are you, man? Family vacations in Lake Tomahawk, Rhinelander area saved me from bear fan dumb. Please tell me the softball game is not going to be snowshoe football. Softball? No, it will not be. it will be some variation of softball, but it won't be. They'll be hitting, they'll be fielding, they'll be, you know, kind of going all out. Although, never forget when Clay Matthews got beamed in the face by a hit. I can't remember who was the hitter, but the ball came right back at Clay's face and got him good. And that was a scary moment. Jeezy baby, how are you, man? Packers doing anything for July 13th when Mark turns 70? Maybe release some green and yellow smoke and have Ed Policy fly through the air like an eagle? I doubt that last part's going to happen, but they will certainly mark the occasion. They'll have something, I'm sure. Maybe some kind of press availability with Ed. I got to imagine there'll be something going on the day when the transfer happens, right? And Mark is, by the Packers bylaws, made to retire. I don't know if it'll be crazy, but like I said, I'm sure they'll have something. What else we got? Giga Rat, this is great. How do I get my 11-year-old to watch the Packers instead of playing Fortnite? It's a tough battle, man. I have three children, all of them girls, who have no interest whatsoever in the Packers and never have. I mean, the closest they've come to being interested in the Packers is probably when Taylor Swift showed up at Lambeau Field. So, yeah, I'm probably not the greatest person to ask. I saw someone say, take the video game console from the house. Just let your kids be your kids and let them hang and do what they want. Don't force it on them, you know? Corey likes to tease me and say I failed as a father because my girls aren't big Packers fans. But man, let your kids be your kids. And if they're into it, cool. And if they're not, they're not. And I understand it'd be nice to have that bond. Man, trust me. When I go back to Lambeau, especially like around family night, and you see so many kids and so many families having such a good time around the Packers, I get a little kind of pang of, maybe not guilt, but regret that my girls aren't bigger fans, you know? But they're into what they're into. And that's great. And I love that they love what they love. And if your kid loves Fortnite, man, maybe he's sitting there saying, why isn't, you know, what do I got to do to get dad to turn off the Packers and play Fortnite with me? I mean, and I'm not saying turn off the Packers, obviously. But, you know, it's the off season now. Maybe play some Fortnite with him. And then maybe he'll turn around and watch some Packers with you. That'd be my best bet. Brandy, how are you again? Nags, can you run through the Aaron Banks signing? What does this guy bring? He's the biggest dude on the offensive line now. As a starter, I mean, Belton, who knows, but he's a big guy and he can move. He's a road grader in a way that the Packers really haven't had in quite some time. A big body who can move other big bodies. He's got power for days. He's a tad more inconsistent, I think, than you'd like in pass pro at times. But I know that obviously there's a reason they signed him and they pounced on him. They think that what they're doing offensively will suit him well. I love that his addition allows them to kick Elgton Jenkins inside and play center. And that left side of the line, no matter who ends up winning that left tackle job, I think Josh Jacobs is going to make hay behind it. And the thing that you love about Banks, too, is he is athletic. He's not just big. He's not just strong. But he can move. And he can do everything they want to do as far as not just the power part of things like running trap and things like that, but he can also do the zone scheme that Matt used to run all the time and got, you know, a bit away from last year. But yeah, he can do whatever you want up front. And like I said, it allows them to get a lot stronger and I think a lot more physical at the point of attack in a way that at times really didn't occur last year or the last couple of years. So it's not like it's just add Banks and become, you know, some power running team instantly. But they started that transition last year very clearly. And this is just a continuation of that. And I would suspect the biggest kind of boon and component of this is while we all saw how effective Josh Jacobs was in Green Bay last year, his first year in this offense, there were so many instances where he had to make things happen at or behind the line of scrimmage because whoever got beat up front or whatever combination of guys got beat up front. There was instant penetration. Banks goes, I'm not going to say a long way, but goes a ways toward, let's make that offensive line a little more powerful and the ability to kind of move the line of scrimmage a little bit more rather than stalemating or even giving things up so that Jacobs has more room to maneuver and operate. I mean, you give Jacobs a lane, you've seen it. Remember the playoff game against the Eagles? He finds that lane and just hits that crease and he's gone. Huge gain right down to the goal line, right? I'm not saying it's going to be like that every play or anything like that, but giving Jacobs a little bit more room to operate should do two things. A, again, be able to pick up yardage prior to contact, prior to the line of scrimmage, let him work to the second level. But B, once you make that as effective as it possibly could be, now you're cooking with gas in the play action game. Now you're able to hopefully utilize what Jordan did really well down the stretch in 2023, which kind of disappeared from the offense last year. And I think some of it was because of the work of the offensive line. So long-winded answer, but that is kind of a 30,000-foot view there. Josh, thanks for the super chat, man. How will the offensive line shuffle if Jenkins struggles at center? Excellent question. There's no doubt that it's not automatic, right? I know lots of people probably point to or look back at or remember the Thursday night start in the rain against the Lions. That certainly was not the standard that you would like to see at center. I think with a full offseason under his belt, it'll be light years different. I think he will play very well, but it's no given, right? And so if this were to occur, right, if he were to struggle, let's say we get to camp even, and it's very clear that the switch is not working well. Sean Ryan was your backup center last year. Jacob Monk was drafted with the idea of potentially becoming a center for the Packers, right? So I think either one of those guys could potentially step into that role. You know, I don't think either one of those are preferable to Jenkins, but I think both of those guys have now, you know, had a year under their belt of working at center in Green Bay in this offense. And I think one or either of them would probably take over or get the first crack at taking over if Jenkins were to struggle. Again, I don't expect that, but it's not a crazy question. And it's certainly something they're going to have to think about. Ed, thanks again, man. Snowshoe softball was a thing. Had to be an ankle surgeon's wet dream. I'll bet it was. Oh, Brandy, thanks again. Is Savion Williams the 2025 version of Ty Montgomery? No quick returns would be fantastic. He is not Ty Montgomery. And that's a comparison I did see along with the Cordell Patterson thing. I understand he ran the ball at TCU. They certainly utilized him out of the backfield. Hell, I think he scored like 5 or 6 touchdowns last year out of the backfield as a running back. So I get it. I understand that comparison. But as I said yesterday, he is a wide receiver, and he could be a damn good one in the Packers offense, their traditional wide receiver role. I think he's got all the upside and the tools to be exactly that, and I think that's how they see him. I don't think, you know, the idea is we're only ever going to run him or we're only ever going to use him as a gadget guy. I think they want him to be a wide receiver. Now, to get him on the field and, you know, part of the mix, so to speak, yeah, maybe they use him that way initially. But I think long-term, he'll be a wide receiver. I have little doubt about that. Heebs, this is not confirmed from what I know. Heard Elton is not all that fond of moving to center. Now, Heebs, where did you hear that? Because I've seen people guessing. I've seen people connecting dots. And I've heard people thinking out loud, quote-unquote. But I haven't seen any... certainly no solid reporting on it, and I certainly haven't heard from the man himself. So I would caution everyone when they talk about, oh, I heard this or that. I don't know, man. Like, let's get something a little more concrete than, oh, I didn't see pictures of him at off-season workouts, to jumping suddenly to he might be or must be disgruntled. And again, I'm not saying he's not. Maybe he is. But I find it unlikely that Brian Gutekunst would get up in front of the assembled media and talk about how, yeah, the plan right out of the gate after signing Banks. Yeah, the plan is to move Jenkins to center. Point blank. I mean, right away. I can't imagine that would happen if he hadn't talked to Elton and there hadn't been communication there and Elton wasn't on board with the idea. I mean, again, call me crazy. Maybe he's stewing about it somewhere, but again, I would pump the brakes a little bit on that narrative. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channel. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday. Go Pack, go.